This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is the Morning Run on BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Sejong, joined by Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. Now, in about a quarter of an hour, as COVID-19 cases continue to climb, how will this weigh on the retail sector's recovery? That's a question for that point in time. But before that, markets.
Very mixed day. I think there was a seesawing between up and down. So the Dow and S&P, though, ended flat, with the Nasdaq also down 0.3%. Also, back home closer to Asia, also a mixed day. Hang Seng and Shanghai was also flat. Nikkei was down 0.5%. Singapore was only the bright spot, up 0.3%, and back home, FBM KLCI down 1%.
So to expand on international markets, we've got on the line with us now Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at the VFS Group. Now, Jack, Microsoft third quarter sales at $48 billion beat the street at $41 expected. Obviously, that's a beat, but the share price didn't do so well after hours. Why do you think that was the case?
I think it's got a lot to do with their cloud revenue. That was quite stable. I mean, it was a very good report from Microsoft and also a very good report from Google after hours. I think the flatlining on the cloud business was what kind of, you know, left the market a little bit wanting. In terms of these big tech, I'm expecting, you know, some outstanding results. Whether the market's going to react to them or whether they're fully priced is another question. But I've just had a look at the Microsoft, and I'm pointing to the cloud. That was flat, and I think that was a little bit disappointing. But overall, a very good quarter for Microsoft.
And Jack, one question. Who's winning the cloud race then?
Well, I think there's going to be multiple winners. I mean, there's enough business for everybody here, considering the acceleration into the cloud and the amount of acceleration that we've still got to do. You know, we've pulled forward a lot of our technological innovation because of the pandemic, but I think there's going to be multiple winners. If you look at Google's report today, their cloud business has boomed in this last quarter, and I think they're going to capture more market share as they go forward. But in the end, it's going to be the big tech guys. So you're going to have Microsoft, you're going to have Google, Amazon, and Alibaba in China is also accelerating their cloud business. So multiple winners because it's such a big business, and all of them are putting as much effort into acquiring as much business as they can. And it's a very profitable business with great margins.
So you were saying also Alphabet, Google's parent, reported good numbers that beat expectations, but they also had a $50 billion share buyback program. Is that a good use of their money?
Well, share price is going up, so I think it might be a good use. Look, when I look at what they've done, I did expect them to really beat. Considering we're reopening, a lot of their revenue comes from advertisements. This was an outstanding quarter from Google, You know, you look at the numbers, revenue, 55, they expected 51. You know, EPS was a massive beat, 26, where they were expecting 15. Operating income up. This was a great beat by a great company who continues to go leaping forwards. And that cloud business is kind of that, you know, diamond in the rough. And we saw that in the last quarter. I was on your show last quarter when we talked about that cloud business. That continues to go forward. And just in general, we're seeing big tech continue to move forward and continue to grow despite the valuations in the trillions. And I expect that going forward over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years and this quarter.
Which leads to my next question, Jack. I'm very confused because, like you say, earnings are stellar from the big two tech names, but yet the Nasdaq was down last night. What's happening?
Yeah, look, you know, the market doesn't always react the way we think it's going to react. You know, we've got to expect that, you know, we've had a good run into these names. You know, you're still getting possibly a cyclical movement in some of these momentum and reflationary trades. So people are using that. Plus, we've had a very good couple of months. So, you know, we don't always price in that revenue beat when the market's after hours. Now, I'm looking at Microsoft right now. That's pricing down. But Google is pricing up. So it's not necessarily an A happens to B. This is a market. We're dealing with futures contracts and managed funds and a lot of different players and actors. But if you look at it in the long term and you look at the last 6 to 7 quarters from some of these big tech companies, it tells you that they are on an upward trajectory growth and a great upward trajectory growth. So I always say with these big tech companies, don't trade them, own them. And have them as a cornerstone of your portfolio going forward.
Jack, do you think this is a result of the possible increase in capital gains tax in America? Because exactly, these names have gone up so much, so everyone's like, hey, why don't we just lock in some gains now?
Yeah, possibly. So, you know, that's still to play out to see exactly how the market is going to react. When we first heard the news earlier in the week or late last week, we saw the market really drop off considerably and then bounce back up. You could have that. So just to explain to your viewers there, once the tax comes in, you know, there's going to be, historical proposition. So people might sell to take advantage of the previous tax breaks and then look to enter in. And that could be a possibility considering the amount of gains investors would have on some of these big tech names. So that's a very good point to make, actually.
Yeah, Jack, Apple's one of the last, one of the mega cap techs that have yet to report. What are your expectations on that front? And do you think there'll be a precursor, kind of like a forebearer of blowout quarterly GDP for America?
This is the greatest company in the world.
Wow. All right. Clearly a fanboy, Jack.
Yeah. In fact, this is the greatest company ever. Ever. I cannot talk, you know, enough about this company. You know, it's bordering on a $2.3 trillion valuation. This is going to $3 trillion. I have no doubt in my mind. You know, you talk about what this company does. They are a fundamental part of, you know, billions of people's lives every day. Through their, you know, their iPhone, their iPad, their Mac, their wearables. Now they're getting into the credit card. This credit card, the Apple card, you know, the ability for families to use the one card is going to be a boom for this company. Streaming, entertainment. I cannot speak highly enough of this firm. This is the greatest company in the world and the greatest company we've ever seen as a listed company. Well diversified, cashed up, great management, great ethos, great customer service. They are going to blow this quarter away and they are going to blow apart. This is the most iconic company of our history. And when I say, I've said this before and I'm borrowing, you know, the term of Jim Cramer, you don't trade this company, you simply own it. This is an iconic firm. You know, they're getting into data centers. They're moving into TV production. Very well run. Iconic brand, great moats. I cannot speak highly of that, and I think they're going to blow this quarter away.
They also appear to be quite responsible. They've also, in the sense that they've waged war on people like Facebook because of their ad tracking software. Jack, what do you make of that?
I mean, I wouldn't take that too far, being responsible on Facebook. I mean, they are, and they've positioned themselves in terms of data security and data integrity very well. And that's been a 3 to 4 year proposition. I mean, I remember the ads they did 2 or 3 years ago about protecting people's data. Yes, it's just great vision, you know, from the top down. You know, when Steve Jobs passed away, we all thought, you know, what's going to happen to this company? Tim Cook got a lot of criticism coming in. But it's just streamlined vision, and it's just a great company. I'm wearing a pair of Beats right now, right, while I'm talking to you. And I bought these Beats 2 months ago, and they are obviously owned by Apple. I bought them from the Apple store. Something was wrong with them in 3 to 4 weeks. I took them back to the Apple store. Within 15 minutes, I had new replacements of my Beats. It's just this ecosystem that they built, this vertical and horizontal integration. You know, once you enter the Apple family, you simply can't leave, not because you want to leave. It's because you don't want to leave it. And that is the beauty of this firm. You talk about that subscription. They've got a new $19.95 podcast subscription. It's just an integrated service that continues to get you buying. And it's just a great product. And yes, I am an Apple fanboy, but it's just great vision across the board, and I can't speak highly enough of this company.
Yeah, Apple is also an American company. They've also upped investment in the Americas. But on quarterly GDP, what are your expectations on that for now? I think more importantly, right, will that send indication of a possible tapering later this year?
Well, you know, I don't think they have the guts to taper at this point in time. And that is the issue. You know, it's going to be a blowout GDP number. But they've clearly said, from Powell to Yellen, it's go big, go hard, do everything that we can. And this is the caveat with the American economy and the American stock market. It's the fiscal and liquidity cliff. At some point, they're going to have to reduce tapering. At some point, they're going to have to taper back fiscal spending. And the problem is, how will the market react? Now, you know, I follow China very closely. I point to China as a guide. They tapered in November, December, and then very aggressively coming into China Lunar New Year. And look what happened to that market. And that fiscal and liquidity cliff wasn't as large as what the Americans are facing. Yeah, that's going to be a big decision. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, it's fine. So on China, as you were saying just now, I mean, very different story with Alibaba and Meituan. And that's now happening with Meituan being the latest target of Chinese regulators. What's happening with them?
Yeah, so you had the Alibaba fine a couple of weeks ago. It's nearly on a month. Following that, the Chinese regulator, SAMR, got 30 or the 40 of the biggest tech companies in a room and basically said to them, you've got a month. You either start, you know, working or following the rules, or we're going to go after you. Now, it's been less than a month. They're going after Meituan after picking one of two sides. Same thing they find Alibaba off. It's just the next in the cab off the rank. This is a fundamental breakdown, a fundamental regulation of China tech. They've left them unregulated for a long time for certain reasons. And this is simply the chickens coming home to roost. They're not going to be the last one. There'll be plenty more after this.
So, Jack, are you a China tech bull or bear then?
Yeah, so you know I've been underweight Chinese tech for quite a long time. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we've seen the bottom of Chinese tech. So we've seen almost a 30% retracement. If you look at something like the K-Web, which is China New Internet, down almost 30% from the all-time highs. I'm calling a bottom on Chinese tech. I think we've kind of factored in the news right now. The Alibaba fine was light in perspective. So they could have went harder after Alibaba. They didn't. And I kind of feel like they've shown the walls. They've told them what they want to do. And the Chinese tech companies are moving to work in unison with the Chinese government and the Chinese regulator. I believe this is a bottom on Chinese tech. It's a buy here for me.
All right, Jack, thank you so much for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy for VFS Group. Ah, Jack is amazing radio, right? He's so charismatic and I think he's very honest, right? And what he said about tapering and the whole liquidity crunch that people are fearing, I don't think that's possible because cheap money, zero, free money is like heroin for markets, right? How do you wean markets off free money?
You will have to, Truong. This is where you and I differ. I think eventually markets will have to. It's just a question of the messaging and, you know, it's managing expectations. So if I'm Fed and I'm, you know, Fed chair, I'll be very careful in terms of what I tell people, how soon I tell people. And you know what? Markets are sensitive. They'll just look at inflation data as indication of when it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time because, you know, it's boomtown, Charlie, in US at the moment. GDP 6%, wage inflation happening, price inflation, supply and demand inflation both happening. They can't continue to keep rates artificially low forever. And this, by the way, applies even here in Malaysia.
Well, they tried, right? They tried. They started and then they just dialed it back aggressively because
no, that was
they just
of course during
it.
The after the Asian financial. Oh, sorry,
no, no, no,
the
I'm
great
talking
financial.
About 2 years ago.
Yeah. That was because the consequence of the great financial crisis was going through the system. And I think they've learned their lessons in terms of how do you communicate this rise in interest rates? And that's important because it's all about expectations. Markets don't like surprises.
Well, talking about markets, right? Microsoft down 13% after hours after they reported, you know, basically quite good earnings. Obviously, I think the market was expecting a bigger beat. Okay, we'll come back after this with more after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.